Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure, in the absence of Neil this morning, to extend a very warm welcome to you all. I know there is a few visitors with us this morning, and a very special welcome to them. And also welcome those who may listen to this in the CD later on or over the internet. We do hope and pray that everyone, wherever they are or whatever time they are, may know of God's blessing with us this morning. We trust that everybody has received an announcement sheet, whether through the internet or the hard copy, but there's a few announcements just to emphasize. This week is a very busy week coming in regard to Clocky. A number of people have been working very, very hard over the last number of days and weeks preparing for next Sunday. And certainly this week coming in, there's a bit of just cleaning up required. So we plan to have a work party tomorrow night and Wednesday night. So if you're free for a couple of hours, please do come down to Clocky to help to clean up. And that will be from 7 o'clock on Monday night and Wednesday night. And also on Wednesday night down in Clocky, TAP will be. We normally meet here on TAP, but we're going to move down to Clocky, seeing we're starting up this new ministry on Sunday down there. So TAP will be at 7:30 down in Clocky on Wednesday night. Now, if you haven't been to TAP and, you know, before, you don't come regularly to TAP, why not just make it a special occasion to come on Wednesday night to pray for different aspects, but particularly for the life of Clocky as we start that ministry. So anybody requiring a lift to go to Clocky on Wednesday night, the cars will be leaving here at 7:10 to be there for 7:30. So please do bear that in mind. And then that takes us on to next Sunday. Clocky will start, the service in Clocky will start, the very first service under this new ministry will start at 10 a.m. down in Clocky. And then up here, our service will be at 11:30. And that will be 11:30 from now on. Now, if you come at your usual time next week, that will be great. Just you'll hit a wait way longer. You know, you can chat for another 30 minutes. But bear that in mind. It's Clocky at 10 a.m. and then up here at 11:30. Also, then moving on, next Saturday is really our launch of our calendar year, and that is through the 24 hours of prayer. And the church will be open from 10:30 Saturday morning right through to 10:30 on Sunday morning. And that is an opportunity for each and every one of us to come in, just sit and reflect and to pray for different aspects of church here and overseas and all aspects of it. So it would be good to see every one of our church members down at 24 hours of prayer sometime during that period of time. You can come for as short a time as possible, or as long a time as possible, or as many times as possible. Please do avail of that, and that starts at 10 o'clock on Saturday, 10:30 on Saturday morning right through. Even at night time, the church will be open and manned right out through. So please do consider that next Saturday in your life. Also, I've just been asked to announce that the ladies who are going to the live conference on Saturday the 9th of September to see Heather this morning to arrange maybe the transport up to that. And also to remember the health and safety and all of that, it's on Monday week. Please do put that in your diary. For all those who are leading or involved in any aspect of church life, please do put that sincerely in your diary to come along, and that's be in the upper room. That's Monday week. And also, just to mention to members of committee, there will be a short meeting after the service this morning in the quiet room, if you go there as quickly as possible. And finally, just everybody is invited round for tea and coffee, a time of fellowship in Solid Ground after this morning's service. I believe that's all the announcements. So let us come to worship God this morning. And I'd like just to read two verses from Psalm 66 this morning, verses 5 and 6. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works on man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. come and let us rejoice in him. And that is what we're here today. Come and rejoice in him. And we're going to stand and sing now our first praise. And it is one that just really sums up these two verses. And that is, blessed be your name. I normally sit down in the pews here, and maybe don't, and all of you maybe don't know the volume that comes from your singing, and standing up here for a time, it's powerful, the volume, and I just say to keep that up, it's fantastic. So let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity of worship, for the freedom to be amongst your family, meeting together in your house and in the warmth of your embrace. We thank you that in worship we can put aside the uncertainties of this world and rest upon the certainties of your kingdom, for your promise are not changeable. We thank you that we can bring to you all the hurts and fears that trouble us, and leave them there, knowing that your strength and assurance is all that we require. Thank you that we can draw near to you in worship from a world of concerns and fears to a place where we can be at peace in your presence, find healing and wholeness and refreshment. Lord, help us today to see you. Help us today to learn more about you. And Lord, help us today to follow you. We pray that you may change our hearts and our minds so that we might really be your special people. Lord, you, Lord God, for alone you love us and care for us. And may we know today that we are meeting with you. For it's through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We stand to sing another great praise entitled, Great is Your Faithfulness. And this speaks about God's creation in all of its glory. So let us stand and sing, Great is Your Faithfulness.
You never.
come to God's Word now, and I would encourage everybody to get their eyes on a Bible, on a pew Bible or whatever. And the reading this morning, Scott is coming to share God's Word with us later on, and we thank him for that. And the reading he has chosen is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33, and that can be found on page number 981. And it's entitled, Jesus Walks on the Water. Let us read God's Word. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was terrified and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are the Son of God." Amen. Before the young folks leave for K4C and creche, we stand to sing again, "Lord, lift up your name on high." And that tells us about what God has done for us. And when we're singing it, just soak in the words as we sing, and that tells us what God ultimately has done for us. Let us praise God again.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
young folks will leave now for before tea. This can be a very big week for each and every one of us, but maybe this week is bigger for a couple that I've just noticed sitting down in the pews. So Matthew and Rebecca, all the best for Thursday, and all the best for Ian and Julie as well. hope it'll be a really special day for you both. Our offering will now be received. Let us pray. Lord, we recognize that everything we have comes from you. And Lord, we ask that you may accept these, a small token of our appreciation and love. That it is our prayer that you may multiply it and bless it to further your kingdom here and around the world. For we ask it in your name. Amen. You know, it's just great to see people that maybe have left us for a period of time to come back into our church. And I know many of you would know that, you may just stand up, JP. I'm sure many of you recognize this person, or maybe you don't recognize him, for he has grown a bit of a beard since the last time we've seen him. And I know many of you maybe don't know him because you've joined this congregation a long time since JP left. And he's come back this morning and he wants to say a few words to the congregation. But I'm going to ask him a few questions just so that everybody gets a feel of who he is and what he's been doing since the last time he was with us. You know, JP, you went and studied in Scotland and then it's taken your journey over to England. Well, I was very close now. I'm sure it's only a stone's throw away. Well, you went to England, and then you ended up in Canada.
Yeah.
So why Canada?
I think back to that, and I wonder, how did I end up doing all of the work that I'm doing in Canada? And I reflect back on a lot of different ways that I saw God provide for me in those. I was able to find a school to go to out there, and the provision was able to come for that. And I was also able to find my wife. So we got married last July out there. And we're happily into our first year of marriage now, and enjoying living out in British Columbia, Canada. And for a while, I'd felt a calling on from God to be working in youth ministry. And as things came together, the opportunity to be involved in working in that came together in Canada. And I've had the opportunity to do really what I love and what I'm passionate about and what I feel like God's called me to.
Right, so you got married out there? Oh, just over a year. And how's it going?
Well, she's sitting up in the gallery, so it's going well.
You're still in your honeymoon period?
Yeah.
That'll change. That's all right. Yeah. That's a good advert for these two sitting down here. Yeah. You know, just quite simply, could you share us some of the stories that you have seen how God has worked through you in your job?
Yeah, so I work with an organization called Young Life. What we do is we go out and we're working in the public schools there, where there's not a lot of talk of faith, at least the Christian faith. We work in one of the most multicultural schools in North America. It's around about 65% Asian, 20% Eastern European. And so Canadian is the minority. And that's been interesting. We're working with a lot of different religions. We're working with Muslims, Sikh, Buddhists, everything you can think of. And so it's required me to learn a lot about these different religions. One of the ways that I've really seen God work is through prayer and through realizing that that's what's holding it all together. That as I prayed about more about what was going on, and I continued to share that with people, that's when I saw God show up. It was this past year we were able to take a bunch of, I think we were 11 kids we took to a summer camp. Six of them who had never heard the gospel before, it was amazing. I went in with many doubts, and just as we sang in Greatest Your Faithfulness, to know that he's always providing and he's always a few steps ahead of me, no matter how many doubts I have. And so I had assumed that this would be a first stepping stone for them to learn a little bit about what it means to be a Christian, and that would be what comes of it. But as the time went on, we had some boys that were able to open up and committed their lives to Christ, and they're a month in now, and they still have their struggles, but they're working through it, and we're there with them. So a lot of what we do is we go into the high schools out there, and for some reason they let me coach the rugby team. I don't know why, but something about being from Northern Ireland was just that's all I needed. They're not very good out there, but it's good enough for me to be doing, and it's good enough for me to get to know people. So that's the main way that I connect with the boys and girls out there. And we run clubs every week. A big answer to prayer is that we're now moving out of the place that we've been holding our clubs in this past year, as it's not big enough. And it's cool to see that in a school of 1,800 kids that God's starting to move, and God's already been at work before we arrived, but that he's using the vessel of Young Life to do his work.
Thank you very much, JP. We have supported JP, and maybe you don't know, but we have supported them over the last year, some sort of financial-wise as well. But also, I'm sure we can support you in prayer. So please do keep in contact with us, and certainly that would be appreciated.
Yeah, and if anyone is wanting to know more information about what we're doing and what to be praying for, I would love to share these with you. I have a lot of them, and I'm willing to give them out to whoever is interested to learn more about what we're doing. Because prayer is definitely what holds it together, and that's been my realization over the past year. Good work.
I'm sure anybody who'd like to have a chat later on, you can. JP will be around the coffee bar later on, so you can have a chat to him. Thank you, JP, and God's blessing to you and your work in the future, and your marriage as well. I'm going to invite Kathy up, who's going to lead our prayers for others.
It's disappointing now that you're going to have to listen to a Northern Irish accent again. Levy's only been away a couple of years, and he came back as a Canadian. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity of being together in prayer. As we look forward to another week, we pray for an awareness of your love and your presence and guidance and support in all we do. Be with those whose week never seems to start or end, because each day seems to be the same. We pray for the elderly who are confined to their homes or who are in nursing homes. We pray for the sick, especially those who are known to us, who are ill at home or in hospital. And we pray for those who are struggling with depression, confusion, or other mental health issues. And we pray for people who are frightened of the future and have no joy when they think about the week ahead. Lord, may all of these people find you this week in the care provided by or the contact that they have with other people. In whatever's done for them, may they find and respond to your healing hands. Lord, we pray for people who aren't known to us personally, but we have seen them on our TV screens, and we know that the week ahead will be frightening and awful. We pray for those men and women and children who are escaping brutal wars, whose desperation leads them to undertake dangerous journeys over land and sea. Also those fleeing religious persecution and all who are looking for hope in a hopeless situation. May we look beyond our own fears and concerns to the needs of those who have nothing and who depend on the kindness of strangers. May our hearts be opened, our leaders challenged, and our self-interest be called out. Lord, we thank you this morning for all of our young people who have just received examination results. And we thank you that no matter what these results were, that we can trust you in every situation. Lord, you tell us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. So Lord, whatever your plans are for each of these young people, we pray your peace to sustain them through any anxiety about disappointing results or starting a new place of study or leaving home or making new friends or whatever it is they might be worried about. Remind them of your unfailing love, and may they bring all their fears to you and lay them at the foot of the cross, because you have overcome the world. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to Jamie. Thank you for the journey that you've brought him on, and thank you that you've been with him as he obeyed your call to serve him in full-time ministry work. We pray that you will bless him and bless him, his and Emily's marriage, and that you'll provide for them in every aspect of their lives. Thank you for the young lives that he has touched so far, and guide him and direct him to the people that you want him to minister to in the future. And we thank you for just his words to us this morning about his work. And Lord, I just pray that he and Emily will be blessed as a result of worshiping with us today. And finally, Lord, we just pray for Matthew and Rebecca, just that this Thursday will be a very special day for them and their families. Lord, we pray that you will bless them as they take their vows and bless their marriage. And Lord, grant them a long, happy and healthy life and a blessed life, Lord, serving you together. Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Morning. How are we all doing? Quick word of advice for any young budding preachers here. If you're preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning, do not stay up to watch a half four fight. McGregor's going to lose anyway, so there's no point. I fell asleep at 4 o'clock and asked me up for the count. So a few faces I haven't seen before, so just so you know, I am Scott. I attend and worship here. I'm currently studying in Belfast Bible College, where I'm going into my third year. So I live here in Grey Abbey. We also have a house up in Belfast. I share a house with two guys, an Englishman and a Frenchman. So I had to begin another joke. And Noah, who a few people know here, he's done a few talks to the youth, and just a few of my friends have got to know him. Noah is currently engaged and is getting married in April, and has just had a sale approved on a house, so they're going to have their first house together. And his fiancée lives in her own apartment in East Belfast. And one day, me and Noah got a phone call, and it was, guys, any chance you can come on down? I need your help. Like, okay, right, well, yeah, we'll come on down. And went up to the apartment, opened the door, and there it was, every man's worst nightmare. 3 IKEA flat pack bookshelves. She was like, any chance you could give us a hand? And Noah, being the macho man, wanted to impress his fiancée, he was like, hey, I can do that easily. I can happily do that. And then added, I probably won't need to use instruction manuals that much. So I was like, happy enough. So me and Susie had a cup of coffee, sat back, and watched Noah for the next 2 hours try to build 3 bookshelves, which kept on collapsing. And every so often he'd look at the instruction manual and be like, no, that's not, I know how to do it. I'm going to do it this way. And then every time it collapsed, and every time he got frustrated. So eventually he gave in. And after 2 hours, he accepted that the instruction manual was there to help him. And so he used it and he built his bookshelves. He doubted these instructions, and then, but once he trusted the instructions, the task he had ahead of him, he was able to complete. So I'm just going to read over the passage once again. So it's Matthew 14, 22-33, page 981. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already considerably distant from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are Son of God." I agree. So how many of us have been given an instruction manual before and just threw it to the side purely because we doubted, purely because our pride doesn't allow us to? I am firm on the instruction manual. I am the most handless person here, so I need all the help I can get. So how many of us just throw it away? And then when we're trying to do the thing, the task that we want to do, we fail. You know, we fail over and over again. When this whole time, we had the answer right in front of us. We had the help right in front of us, and we just dismissed it. So throughout this, hopefully not too long a talk, I'm going to be saying a phrase, to get out of the boat. Now, this isn't literally to step out of a boat in the middle of the water, but it's a reference in how we're living our lives. You know, we need to step out of the boat. We need to get past the things that we believe give us comfort and safety. We need to take a risk. Comfort and safety that we don't find in God. They can come in the form of many things. In the comfort of financial stability. In the comfort of a group that we're surrounded by because, you know, they're the popular people. You know, I find my comfort in them. Do we get comfortable with the way others view us? And people's interpretations of us, be it good or bad? Or are we just comfortable in our static faith? Not moving forward, but staying where we are. Yeah, there's many excuses that we can give for not stepping out of this boat and just remaining in there and lingering in. One is our complacent attitudes. I say we're all very guilty of it. You know, I'm fine where I am. I believe I'm a good enough Christian. I've been doing this for 30 years now, and you know, I'm not a terrible person. I'm doing all right. And these aren't bad people, but the issue is there's no moving forward. There's no taking that risk. These people of all ages do that. From the Christian who's been a Christian for 50 days to the Christian who's been one for 50 years. We can all just get comfortable in where we are. We can just get too comfortable. Unfortunately, in this day and age, it's not good to stay static in our faith. And there's a survey that was taken in 2011, and it said that 64% of British people profess to be a Christian. And then the same survey was taken last year in 2016, and that has dropped to 43% people. We need to step out of that boat. We need to get out of this complacent attitude, because there are people out there who need to hear of the gospel. As Jamie said about his camp, where there were six people had not heard the gospel. That's unbelievable. That's six too many. And if you remember, I spoke last time about shining our light. We need to get past our complacency. We need to step out, and we need to be filled with the light that we have in us. And we need to shine it on these people. That is complacency. We also have a distorted view. You know, that's impossible. I can never do that. If I step out, something bad's going to happen. I can't do that. Luke 18, 27 says, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." And sometimes we have this attitude because God is the last person we go to. We have horrible things going on in our lives. We have illnesses. We have death. Family issues. Issues at work. And a lot of the time, God, who should be number one, isn't. God's always the one we go to last. Another reason we have, and it's one I have a big fear of, is the fear of failure. We've all been there. We've all not done something or partook in an event because fear of failure. I was talking to a fella, and he goes to his daughter's sports day every year, but he makes sure he hides away as soon as the dad race comes. I know a few people nodding. I think Johnny, he's up there right at the front. He's ready. You're ready to go. But he hides because he knows he's not going to win it. And he feels like to himself, and he says it's stupid, but he feels like he's letting down his daughter because he's not winning the race for her. And then he thinks everyone's looking at him and he's just completely embarrassed. We all have that fear of failure. Now, what if I get out of this boat and it does not go the way I expect it to? What if it all goes terribly wrong? What if I get out again and again and again? And every time I fail, and I fail, and I fail. I have a picture, hopefully. Oh, that's Jesus. The next one. Does anybody know who this fella is? I didn't know who he was until I typed his name. He's a household name, but I had no idea what he looked like. Anybody have any idea? Great. Participation. Excellent. Thomas Edison. And what is Thomas Edison famous for? Light bulb. You know, Thomas Edison, famous for the light bulb, did not just wake up one morning and go, you know, today I'm going to create a source of light by heating up a metal spring filament. That's what I'm going to do. I have a special K. He went straight to his lab, put a few components together, bam, it was there. No, it said it took him nearly 10,000 times, 10,000 failed attempts, 10,000 giving it a go and it not happening before he came with the light bulb that we have now. And look at us now. Look, we can see each other because of these lights. There's a bulb in our projector which projects that. We can drive at nighttime because of the headlights in our car. And why can that happen? Because he didn't give up. Now imagine he stopped on the time before 10,000th time. 999,000th time. And he gave up and he said, no, I can't do this. It's not, obviously it's not for me to do. It's not something I'm going to be able to achieve. So I'm just going to stop. Where would we be now? Obviously, eventually someone probably would have came up and invented a bulb, but history and time would look slightly bit different if that wasn't the case. So what about Peter? What about Peter in the boat? What did he do? Well, he was in the boat and he saw Jesus. And Peter saw an opportunity. I don't know what was going through Peter's head, but he didn't see an obstacle because he was ready to go out as long as Christ said for him to come. Peter saw an opportunity to be with Christ and to leave the boat with him. And I just try to imagine what those disciples were thinking as they saw Peter, you know, take that step onto the boat, then basically hit solid ground. Most of the disciples have been fishermen. I'm sure they've capsized a few boats, and they know once you hit that water, you just keep on going. But Peter, he put his foot down, and he stood up. He stood up, and he walked towards Jesus. And it was all going so well. And that can happen sometimes. Things are going so well. And what did he do? He took his eyes off Jesus. He looked around him. He got distracted by what was going on around him. And he began to sink. Now, Jesus Christ, the Lord incarnate in physical form, was standing right in front of Peter. Peter could have reached out and touched him. He was right there. But he got distracted. And he began to sink. He was standing there and he realized, you know, I'm a man. I'm not meant to do this. This isn't meant to happen. This shouldn't be happening. And he looked around him and he saw the wind and he panicked. He doubts. He gets afraid. It's very embarrassing. And he calls out, Lord, save me. And I love this passage because it says, and immediately Jesus reaches out and grabs him. It doesn't say, and Jesus looked at Peter in disgust and turned back and walked away. Jesus knelt down and gave off and said, why are you doing this? No, it says immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. O you of little faith, why did you doubt me? Again, I read this and I don't see it as Jesus giving off at Peter. I see it as a friend. You know, you just see him like lifting the chin of an embarrassed and ashamed Peter who feels like he's let down Jesus. And he's just like, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? And how many times, how many situations have we been in where we've just taken our eyes off God? How many times in our lives is he right in front of us? You could reach out and you could touch him. He's making his presence known. And yet we turn away and look at things through our earthly eyes. We're all Peter. We've all been there. We all sometimes take that step out of the boat. And suddenly we start to fail. And suddenly we start to sink. And we fail through no fault of anyone else. But sometimes it's because of our distorted view on life. We see our needs, our comfort and our safety, more valuable and more important than trusting in God. You know, and this isn't going to be, I'm not here to say, once you're in with Christ, you know, it's all okay, you'll be walking on water and you'll be doing grand, there'll be no failures at all. That's not going to happen because we're going to fail. We're going to do so over and over and over again. And it's going to be hard. There's going to be pain. We may look at situations and see and believe we're not going to be able to get out of them. We may look at them and be like, this is a dark place. I can't see in front of me. I don't know where I'm going from here. We could be having health troubles or troubles with faith, and life just seems so dark. So dark that because we can't see in front of us, we start looking around us. But let me encourage you. On verse 25, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Now back then, night time was split into four watches. It started from 6 p.m. and ended at 6 a.m. So it goes from 6 to 9 as the first watch. It goes from 9 to 12 as the second watch. It goes from 12 to 3 as the third watch. And then from 3 to 6 is the fourth watch. And from 3 to 6, it is the darkest point of nighttime. It's always dark before dawn. It is the darkest point of the night. It is the darkest point of Peter's life. It's the darkest point of your life. And yet Jesus comes walking towards you. Though it may seem dark, Jesus is walking towards you. He comes walking on water. He comes walking on the very issue that Peter was having. That issue of being overcome, being succumbed by the water and drowning. Christ was above it. Just like he is walking on the head of Satan. The thing that physically overcame Peter and would physically overcome all of us, Jesus was above it. He comes walking on illness. He comes walking on your suffering. He comes walking above your financial trouble and your trouble at work. He comes walking above your complacency. He comes walking above our distorted views on life. He comes walking above our failures. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And he is above all of the bad things that we go through in life. And he walks on them. And he is on top of them like it is no problem at all. Like there's no issue whatsoever. It's the times when it just gets too much for us, we take our eyes off Christ. That is when we sink, just like Peter. But Hebrews 12:2, it tells us, keep our eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race. Keep looking at him. Try not to look around you. Keep our eyes on the cross. Keep on looking, for he walks on all of our problems and our issues. Every time we struggle to get our head over a situation, every time we feel like we're sinking, he is above it. And just like Peter, we need to call out three words. Lord, save me. And immediately, he will grab you and he will hold you. Immediately. The amazing part I find in this story is after Peter comes out, so in verse 32 and 33, and it says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Verse 32, it's an important verse. It tells us that God is in control of everything. He's in control of all the elements of everything that's going on, which is great. That's a really good thing, a really important thing to know. In my head, you know, I see verse 33, going a little bit differently, like in the sense of, you know, those that were gathered in the boat then gathered around Peter, who was very wet. You know, Jesus, give us a wee second. Peter's had a tough time. Peter nearly died. Peter's quite embarrassed. Just wait over there a wee second, Jesus. Thanks. Someone go get him a towel, you know. He's soaking. Oh, Peter, you know, that's pretty embarrassing. You stunk like a rock. Come here, it's okay. Me and the other guys have all been through this situation. It's okay. We've done it before. Just don't rush. Just sit down. Just relax. We're not going to tell anyone. When we get back to shore, we'll walk you back to someone's house. We'll get you a new set of clothes. Jesus, please, just wait. Just wait. We won't make it obvious. We won't make a big scene. Don't worry, Peter. But that doesn't happen. Not at all. No, what it says in verse 33, once Peter comes back onto the boat, all 12 of the disciples, including Simon Peter, who is probably shivering, who is probably freezing, who is soaked. Remember, this is in between 3 and 6 a.m. He has just succumbed by water. And they all begin to enjoy Jesus. They are in complete amazement. Nobody even notices Peter. Peter probably hasn't even noticed himself. But straight away, he is worshiping the God. You know, wow, you truly are the Son of God. It is true, and you're right in front of us. The next part of that chapter goes on to talk about how they reach port, and then they go off into the land, and they start to minister. They start to heal people. And let me ask you, is Peter even dry yet? Has Peter even dried himself down? Has somebody even got him a towel? Peter was worshiping in the boat wet, and now Peter's facilitating with Christ as he heals and ministers to hundreds of people. He is soaking wet. But you know, sometimes we've been taught to dry off. We've been taught not to come to church wet. If you're coming to church, don't come wet. Don't come soaked, and definitely do not come dripping. No, not in our church. If you're here, you come wet, we have a section for you, you know, right at the back over there. We'll get you a few towels. We'll cover you up. We'll make sure no one can see how wet you really are. We'll hide you. We don't want wet people. We're going to dry people. But don't worry, when you dry yourself down, then you can join in church. Then you can become a leader, you know. But we don't want a wet worship leader. We don't want a wet prayer ministry team leader. And we certainly don't want a wet minister. So you better dry off. Gather yourself together. You know, get a new set of clothes. But no one sinks here. We do, but we just pretend we don't. How long are we going to sit down and wait until we dry off? How long are we going to sulk and be a casualty of the guilt of our failures? How long are we not going to look at Jesus? We need to believe in the gospel we say we believe in. We need to be believers who encourage other believers and tell them of the good news. Though a righteous man falls or sinks seven times, he gets back up. You know what? Sometimes you just got to wash it wet. Sometimes you just got to lead wet. You lead your family wet. You got to go to work wet. You got to talk to people in church soaking wet. I'm standing here right now and I am dripping. We're all wet. But I hope that we're a church that does not turn away the wet. That we allow people to come wet. They come soaked. That we don't have any towels. There's no cover up. Because Jesus came to seek and save those that were wet. This isn't a place for the perfect people. This is not a place for perfect people. And the best thing for us to do, and yeah, I know you sank, and sometimes we do, and it gets really hard, and it's really bad. But quite frankly, should we be continuing to talk about that time we sank? And just talk, oh, remember that? Had that really hard time, really hard time. But instead, I would want to, and I'd hope you'd want to, talk about the Lord God that saved you when you were drowning. Talk about how his grace is sufficient enough for me, even when I'm soaking. We need to be glorifying him and his good deeds in our life. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is finished. Come on, Peter. We've got people to help on the other side, you know. There's people that are sick. No, Lord, I can't. I'm not dry yet. I can't do this. Stop it. We're going to have to do this wet. You're going to have to trust me that my grace is sufficient enough. You're going to have to trust me that I love you in spite of how soaking you are. You have to trust me that I am with you and beside you, regardless of what you've done, what you've said, who you've hurt, what failures we've lived through. I am beside you, no matter how wet you really are. It's going to be hard to adopt a life like that. There's a whole different way of looking at things. It's a whole different lifestyle. You know, the next time you fail, the best thing we can do is to focus all of our attention, focus all of our efforts on enjoying Christ Jesus. You know, if Noah just picked up that instruction manual and read it first time straight away, probably still would have taken him a few hours, but he would have got it built. He would have got it done. It may have slipped up along the way, but at the end, he would have got it done. He would have got it done a lot quicker. Guys, we all stay in a boat, and we're all swimming, all floating around in this boat, and sometimes we just got to step out. Sometimes we got to trust, and sometimes we just need to step out and put our foot in that water. Take that step. Take that risk. Are we risk-taking people, or are we complacent people? We need to be Peter. Lord, if that is you, tell me to come and I will come. And Christ told him to come. And what did he do? He listened. And he took that step. And it was going so, so well. And then he got distracted. Folks, try not to look around you. Try to look ahead of you. Christ is there. Christ is there with you. We can't all walk on water. We're going to fail. It's going to happen. That's what we do in that situation. That's important. Best thing we can do is focus all our efforts and attention on enjoying Christ Jesus. Focus all our efforts and attention on enjoying Christ Jesus, regardless of what failures we go through, regardless of what hard times we have, regardless of what stupid things we've done. Take that step, take that risk, trust in him and look at him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that as we say, Lord, save me, immediately you will save us. We thank you for your grace, Lord, that is sufficient to forgive us, that no matter what we've done, said, what people we've heard, or what things we've done, you're there. And you love us, and you forgive us. So when we're sitting in this boat, may we just get ready to take that step, because when you call us, we need to take that step. So may I pray that this congregation and the surrounding congregations, that Lord, we open up our ears. We open up our ears to listen to you and to hear you. You are talking to us, and when you say to come, we have to take that step. There's no two ways about it. We have to take that step. Lord, as terrifying as that step's going to be, I just ask that you be with us. That your presence is there. That we know you're there. That when we begin to sink, you will grab us. You will lift us up. And you will help us. Let's not be complacent in our faith. Lord, let us not have distorted views of you and how we should be living our life, but putting you first instead. And let us not worry about our failures. Because you're a God that died for our failures, because we are failures. We thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to sing a song that's been done a few times here, guys. And the first verse, it says, "You call me out upon the waters. The great unknown where feet may fail." And the chorus that says, "And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine." Let's stand and sing.
Great unknown, where feet may
Let's pray. So Lord, we will call upon your name when our heads go below the water, Lord. May we keep our eyes on you and continuously on you. May we leave this place looking at you. May we leave this place in safety. May we leave this place and live a week for you, Lord, to come back again on Sunday. So we thank you, Lord. Bless those all around us. We thank you for blessing us. Amen. Thank you.